All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Boca Podcast. I am your host, Nathan Holritz. It is good to be back. We took a little bit of a hiatus. We can call it a summer break, if you will. And we're back. And we're going to continue, of course, doing these live streams moving forward, probably a couple of times a month. Not quite to the volume that we used to, but I hope that'll do a couple of things. One, for me, frankly, I've got a lot going on behind the scenes. And in order to better manage all of that, more effectively manage that, and maintain a certain level of flexibility and freedom in my own life, something we talk about quite a bit here on the show, I think two episodes or so a month, two to three, is going to be a good target. But then as well, I hope that the episodes we do push out, not quite as high a volume as before, that they're more, even more impactful than the episodes we've pushed out previously. Maybe you'll pay a little bit more attention to the information that our guests are bringing, that I'm bringing, and it'll have that much more impact in your life. So you can look forward to that, and we'll continue to push out any new episodes on, we'll do the live stream most of the time on Mondays and push out the new episode to all the platforms, all the audio platforms on Tuesdays. So you can look forward to that as well. Of course, the show is produced by Photographer's Edit, custom editing for the wedding portrait and commercial photographer, for the professional photographer. And a little side note, for those of you that are videographers, by September 1st, we're going to be launching a video editing service. I know that we have saved countless thousands of hours for many, many, many photographers, of course, processing millions and millions of images over the years. And videography was something that we looked into, or video editing, I should say, was something that we looked into years ago, and it just didn't seem like a good fit at that point. And now I think the opportunity is certainly there, and we're going to be able to offer custom editing that matches your video editing style, much like the photo editing service, at a price point that is going to be certainly attainable for most established videographers. And so you can look forward to that. We'll share more information about that if you're subscribed to our newsletter as well. All right. Well, I thought that to kind of get back into the Boca Podcast episodes and live streams, we dig into a topic that we have touched on here on the show a number of times over the last 2 or 3 years in particular, but we've never given a full episode to the discussion. And I think it's a really important one, not just for our culture, but for our industry at large. And I do say discussion here because obviously I'm sharing my perspective, my viewpoint. I would love to hear from you all about what you think about this. So for any of those of you that are currently live stream, don't hesitate to say hello, jump in, and of course, share your perspective, your questions, your comments, your experiences. Don't be shy about that. Would love to hear from you. And you can certainly do so even after this live stream. Of course, these live streams live on YouTube at Boca Podcast, as well as at on YouTube and Facebook, I should say, at Boca Podcast. So don't hesitate. Go ahead and comment, ask questions. And if it makes sense to do a part two of this particular topic, we'll certainly do that as well. Already got a question. Love this. Larry says, does Photographer's Edit work with pet photographers? Absolutely, Larry. Any type of portrait work, we're here for it. And we'll take really great care of your work. So don't hesitate to jump over to our site. You can learn about the services that we offer, the pricing there. And if you've got any questions, don't be shy. Of course, take advantage of the FAQ site, but then also reach out to our team. They're an incredible amount of help. And support at photographersedit.com. They can answer questions there as well. Cool. Thanks for asking the question. And again, for those of you live streaming, don't be shy as we get into this topic. I know it's a loaded one, but we are going to be talking about this idea that we hear a lot about in our culture, finding ourselves, finding myself. It's a popular phrase to just throw out there. And I think like a lot of topics and phrases that we use in our modern culture, it has gotten watered down a bit. Or maybe put another way, when people say the word, they're not really thinking about what they're saying. And unfortunately, I think what is being said is based in a really weak premise, and one that could even be limiting to your life and to your business. You might say, Nate, how does this have anything to do with business? You're talking about finding yourself. If we are clear about what it is that we are trying to do in life and who we want to be, that naturally translates to our business. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a bit. But I thought maybe to get us started, we would go to Bard. For those of you who know ChatGPT, maybe have even used it yourself, really powerful tool, obviously, and certainly one that has become more and more popular. Google has released their version of a conversational AI called Bard, B-A-R-D. If you've not played with it yet, go check it out. Do some comparison conversations with ChatGPT. It's kind of interesting. But I actually asked Bard, what does it mean to find yourself? And this was the response. It was quite an interesting one, actually. Bard says the phrase find yourself, quote unquote, is an idiom that means to discover your true self, your purpose in life, and what makes you happy. It is often used in the context of personal development and self-discovery. The phrase find yourself first appeared in the early 19th century, but it didn't become popular until the late 19th and early 20th centuries. This was a time of great social and cultural change, and people were increasingly questioning the traditional values and beliefs of their societies. As a result, there was a growing interest in self-discovery and personal growth. The phrase find yourself, in quotes, was popularized by a number of authors and philosophers, including Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, and Friedrich Nietzsche. These thinkers argued that people should not be defined by their social roles or by the expectations of others. Instead, they should focus on discovering their own unique potential and living a life that is true to themselves. Today, the phrase find yourself is still used to encourage people to explore their own identities and to live meaningful lives. It is a reminder that we are all unique individuals with our own unique gifts and talents. We should not be afraid to express ourselves and to follow our own path in life. So, to be clear, that is Bard's take, rather regarding the history, the definition, what our culture means when they're saying the phrase find ourselves or find yourself. But I think it's relatively accurate. And the way that it mirrors the conversations I've had with individuals, certainly photographers, even on this podcast over the years. And yet, what I wonder and what I'd like to discuss with you all today is this premise of finding ourselves, is it what best enables us to establish a sense of clarity and direction in our lives and in our business? And we'll get into maybe why it doesn't. And if not, then what might the alternative approach be? And I've already given it away now, but the question we would ask here is, why does finding yourself matter? Why do people talk about finding themselves so much? And I think rooted in that conversation is a simple desire, and it centers around one word, and that is the word clarity. We all, myself included, certainly, we all want some sense of clarity and direction in our lives. And yet, the way that we talk about finding ourselves seems to suggest that people are looking for something that they don't have the capability of producing. And I think that's where one of the areas in which this notion of finding ourselves falls short. Again, we'll touch on that here in just a little bit. But have you ever attempted to find yourself? If so, don't be shy. Comment. Those of you who are live streaming, don't be shy and comment there in the live stream on YouTube or on Facebook at bokapodcast.com or Boca Podcast on both those channels. And let me know what that has looked like for you. Have you tried to go and find yourself? Do you feel like you have found yourself? Now, when we're talking about the desire for clarity and direction, this is why this even matters to human beings in the first place. We want some sense of clarity and direction. Is the phrase find yourself a good premise for establishing clarity in both your life and your business? And I would argue that it actually falls short. And here are a few reasons why. Some food for thought, if you will. The suggestion that you're lost is a defeating premise or construct. You don't need to be found. You just need to decide what you want. Now, that's my take. And the reason I bring this up is anytime we say that we need to go find something, it means that we don't know where it is or that it is lost. That's what's suggested by it. And some of you might say, well, Nate, that's not what I don't mean literally find myself. I know I'm not lost. But I'm talking about trying to find clarity and direction. Okay, that's good. But then why don't you say that? I think in our culture, one of the things that has continued to happen more and more is that words and their kind of original meanings get lost and watered down. And not only does it complicate our conversations, our relationships with others, because now we have to read into what the person means and ask to clarify, to confirm. But when it comes to establishing clarity for ourselves, if we're using words without real intention behind them, it actually causes more complication, more confusion than necessary. So if you're not lost, then why do you have to go find yourself? I just want to leave that question there for you. Finding ourselves too also suggests a singular identity, as though you don't change. And I don't know about you, but in 43 years, almost 44 years of my life, I've experienced a lot of change, and in large part due to my own choices. I don't think that that we are going to go find this singular identity called ourself. The lights are going to come on, the angels are going to sing, the trumpets are going to sound, and then we will have found ourselves for the rest of our life. That's a misnomer. So again, we need to think about the words that we're using and what it suggests, because what we are doing is creating unnecessarily complication and confusion by not being clear and more specific to begin with. Finding yourself also suggests that someone or something else is going to present yourself to you, right? People talk about, I'm going to go to such and such country and try to find myself. I'm going to go travel and try to find myself. I'm going to go have this experience or do this thing and find myself. And then somehow via the vehicle of that experience or those experiences, their self is going to be presented to them. As opposed to something that ironically we talk about quite a bit in our culture these days, and that is the significance of choice. Now, I would include the word responsibility here as well. We are privileged to live in a world where we have the ability to choose for ourselves. That includes how we want to behave, what we want to do on a day-to-day basis, personally and professionally. We have the ability to choose, this incredible privilege to choose. And we talk all the time in our culture about the significance of choice, personal choice, and being who you want to be. And yet, ironically, we're simultaneously talking about going and finding ourselves. And we're giving up the amazing privilege of choice, but also the responsibility. And I know that can be overwhelming, and maybe that's part of the reason that people give that up, but the responsibility of creating the life that we want, of choosing to be a particular type of person rather than writing it off to some other idea, experience, entity, person, etc. So if finding ourselves is a bit of a weak premise to begin with, then of course the question is, what is the alternative? And the alternative is very simply something that I've already alluded to now, to revel. And I love this word revel, right? Just soak in the beauty, the significance, the power of being able to choose who we want to be. I have alluded to this a number of times on the podcast before. For anybody who's watching the live stream or watching it after the fact, I'm holding my arm up here, but on my right wrist is this Japanese characters, kanji, for the word choice, sentaku. And on my left wrist here, the word kakushin, belief in Japanese. I believe, and I've experienced, that I have the choice, the privilege of choice, the opportunity to make choice of who I want to be. And I want to share a little bit more about that idea because I think it's a healthier alternative, number one. It's a more honest alternative, by the way. We're actually looking at the words that we're using, breaking those down, thinking about what they mean, and changing to something that is more empowering and ultimately sets us free to create a more incredible life rather than giving that responsibility and that choice up to something or someone else. And so we're going to talk about that here. I got a comment from John. He says, I think sometimes people think finding them myself is also associated with finding someone's purpose. And John, I think that's actually a really great point. And it adds another layer to this conversation, which we probably don't have time for today, but it's, I think in some ways they're kind of one and the same. Finding ourselves as though there is a singular identity out there somewhere that we're going to happen upon and the lights are going to come on. We're going to be like, oh, I found myself. Now I can go be myself. Similar to that, when people are looking for a purpose, there are a lot of the similar suggestions innate to that. And again, I would argue here that choice, the beautiful power and privilege of choice, is what should ultimately enable us to decide, A, who we want to be, and then as a result of who we want to be, then what we want to go do to accomplish that. So great question, John. And I appreciate the comments already. And y'all, please don't be shy. Share your thoughts, suggestions, ideas, your personal experiences in this process of what it means to find yourself. But I want to suggest kind of an alternative approach. And as I mentioned, that is to revel in the ability to choose who you want to be as an individual. And then naturally that translates to your business. Again, we'll talk about what that looks like here a little bit more tangibly in a few minutes. But you say, okay, Nate, I get what you're saying. I get the points you're making. I'm not like 100% on board, but I get where you're going with this. It makes a lot of sense. How then do I decide who I want to be? And I have to give credit where credit is due here. I read a book called let's see, it was called Awaken the Giant Within. And then I read the follow-up to that, a shorter ebook version called Reawaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins years ago. And in it, he talks about the significance of assessing and ultimately establishing your values, those states of being that are most important to you, that bring the deepest sense of satisfaction and joy. And if you all are curious, in fact, I would encourage you to do this. When this show gets done, go Google Reawaken the Giant Within. We'll link to it in the show notes as well when we publish the episode tomorrow. But Reawaken the Giant Within, it's a 100-page PDF ebook. It's free. And it's probably the most important and most powerful psychological handbook for life that I've personally read. Tony does an incredible job of distilling all these, what might seem like complicated principles, reading some of the more involved books, distills them down and compiles them into a book that is so easy to consume, to understand, and most importantly, to ultimately go apply. So I would encourage you to read that. But in that book, he also gives more context to this concept of values, core values, what they mean, how to go about establishing them. But let me give you just a kind of a brief summary and overview here. Values are not just simply something that we like or that we think are valuable. Values are, again, states of being that are not only most important to us, but we know they're most important to us because they bring the deepest sense of satisfaction and joy. Not these little blips, little temporary highs, but a deep sense, a consistent, sustainable sense of satisfaction and joy when we are in those states of being. Values are not things. They're not people. They're not individual experiences. As you'll read about in Tony's book, values are states of being that result from things, people, or experiences. And one of the examples that Tony actually gives in his book has to do with money. Somebody might say, well, I value money. Okay. Makes sense, right? I mean, we all value money in some way. We want some money in the bank. But that is a thing. What we're looking for via that vehicle of money is a state of being. So what you might actually want, what your actual value is in that case, might be a sense of stability. That is a state of being. I want a sense of stability. I want to know that I have X amount of money in the bank so that I can rest easy. I know that I can cover my bills. I can put money in savings. Maybe I can go on vacation even a little bit or buy a toy here and there. It brings me a sense of stability and calm and peace. I know from personal experience where I didn't have money in the bank and I was making very little money and I wasn't managing my money well, what it looks like, what it feels like to exist in that state. So naturally, I want to feel this sense of stability. And the vehicle, one of the vehicles toward that is money. Let's take another example. I might say one of my values is relationships. Well, first of all, relationship is a thing. But what am I actually trying to get, or what am I trying to get through that relationship? Well, maybe I want the opportunity for connection, a state of connection with another individual or a group of people. And for me, I personally find that connection through, and I'll actually share my values here in just a second, but through service and through conversation, through touch, of course, with my partner. So that's actually what I'm looking for, is that sense of connection, that state of connection with other human beings, and the relationship is the vehicle to that. Let me actually share, just to give you a bit more tangible example of what values might look like. I have a list of 10. And what you'll see in Tony's book is, I think he suggests initially something like 4 or 5, maybe. You don't have to come up with a long list. So don't be overwhelmed when you hear that I have 10 values. This is a list that I've refined over time. But these are my values. And I also define my values. I don't just want one word. I want to define what that word means for me, so I know when I'm actually living out that value. And I want to consistently live out my set of values. That is the person that I'm choosing, that I'm striving to be. So the first is ownership. The way that I define that, anytime I own the privilege, power, freedom, and responsibility to choose my beliefs. And of course, my beliefs are how I frame a situation, experience, or person, which affect thoughts, feelings, and actions. Now, I know it's a mouthful, but that's ownership to me. Ownership is a state of being that brings me a deep sense of satisfaction, even stability that we were referring to earlier. That is my first value. Second, thankfulness. Anytime I'm showing or expressing appreciation. Third, health. Anytime I take care of my body in a way that helps me stay lean, alert, and energetic. Fourth, connection. Anytime I have the opportunity to connect with someone through service, conversation, and or touch. And of course, as I mentioned, with my partner. I'm not just randomly touching people. Number five, flexibility. The ability to maximize time for the sake of connection, adventure, and health. Number six, proactivity. Anytime I'm moving forward and are taking initiative, intentional, we have a tendency in our culture, and not just modern culture probably, but to be reactive in nature. We tend to shy, we shy away and pull back from a situation out of fear. We're scared of taking action, of taking initiative, of moving forward. And so we hold back. And unfortunately, that really is a highly limiting behavioral pattern. I want to be more proactive. So I want to continue to move forward, to take initiative, to be intentional in the way that I'm living my life day to day. Charisma, the way that I define that, anytime I'm engaging with people in a spirit of presence, power, and warmth. And I wish I could reference the book here offhand that I pulled that from, but I find that a really powerful experience to be on the other side of somebody who brings that level of presence, engagement, eye contact, power, a sense of knowledge and ability and warmth. And we all know how it feels like to be, even if it's rare, on the other side of somebody who engages us with a level of warmth. You get goosebumps sometimes. You feel so good being on the other side of that person. Reliability. This is my next value. Anytime I'm keeping my word, I'm consistent in my values, or I'm consistent in my emotional state, I don't want to be that roller coaster guy. I want to be reliable. I want, when I say something, for people to know that I'm going to do that thing. And certainly I want to be consistent, as I said, in my emotional state. Number 9, growth. Anytime I behave with curiosity, try something new, push myself outside my comfort zone, or improve as an individual, I find exhilaration even in the process of growth. Now, because I go hard most of the time, I have to kind of pull back every once in a while, slow it down, because I do enjoy the slowness and the quiet and just being as well. But I find significant satisfaction, a deep sense of satisfaction and enjoyment of life as I continue to grow, whether that's my knowledge, a skill set, as a partner, as a parent, as a business owner, et cetera. I find a lot of satisfaction in that. And then the last, certainly not least, simplicity. For anybody who knows, I'm a bit of a minimalist. For those of you who've been watching the show for a long time, you know I always wear a black t-shirt, and this is just one small piece of my minimalism. But the way that I define simplicity is anytime I'm minimizing the number of moving parts of an effort, or words, spoken, written, for the sake of the 80-20 principle. We want to maximize the return on effort or on time spent. It's called leverage, a really powerful principle. For those of you that don't follow Alex Hormozi, I'd highly recommend it. He talks a lot about the significance of leverage in business, and it's a really powerful concept to consider. But I know that it's possible to run a successful business, to meet my financial desires and goals, and ultimately to do good in the world as well, without having to spin my wheels, without having to work 80 hours a week. And that's what I strive for. That's important to me, and it brings me a sense of satisfaction as well. So these are my values. And I know it's a longer list. Again, don't assume that you need to come up with this massive list and have it all thought out and defined. And this is after time, quite a bit of time, refining this over time, and on an ongoing basis, realizing what is most important to me. And even as I was going back in preparation for this conversation or this discussion today, I was going back to Tony's book, being reminded of how he defines values. And I think it's really important, again, to distinguish between things, people, experiences that are enjoyable to us and the states of being that we ultimately want as a result of those. And that is the distinction. That's what makes a value. It's important to note too, and I alluded to this earlier, that values can change. This idea that we're going to find ourselves, this one singular being, and then we're going to latch onto that and be that thing forever, it's totally illogical. We all know how much life changes and how much we have to kind of adapt at times. And hopefully we're growing as well. We talked about growth just a second ago. So our values may change occasionally, may shift a little bit. We may refine how we define them. That's okay. But being clear about those values, where you're at right now, that is the important thing. It's not something that you have to go on a 6-month or 6-year search for. You can establish those values right now and be clear about who you want to be, who you choose to be. And that is just at the root of this whole conversation, what is so extremely powerful and empowering. Just to further emphasize the importance of this concept of deciding your values, deciding who you want to be, what are the benefits, you say, Nate? Well, one, again, going back to the original point, an overall sense of clarity and direction. I know we all want that. And look, we can't always have it in every realm of our lives to the nth degree, right? But we all feel a sense of stability and maybe a sense of ease and relaxation when we have clarity about where we're going. I hate being in limbo. And I'm sure you've experienced that. Maybe you're there now in some aspect of your life. It's not a great feeling to have. We all want some sense of clarity and direction. And that is the first and biggest benefit from being able to choose who you want to be. This is who I want to be. And so now I get to go build my life around these values. It brings that sense of clarity and direction. And I should add to that empowerment through the realization that I can make this choice or set of choices to be this person. I have to go find it. I have to wait for somebody else or some entity to tell me. I get to go choose right now who I want to be. Of course, it also enables us to be able to filter our decision-making process. If we're asking a question, is this the right way to go? You can immediately go back to your values. Does this align with my value set? This is the person I want to be in life, whether it's my relationships, my business, my health, my hobbies, literally any aspect of my life, this is who I want to be. Does this align with my values? That's a great starting place, a great filter through which to ask those questions. Another interesting concept about, one, realizing that you have the ability to choose who you want to be, and of course, establishing that through a set of values, is that you then realize, okay, this is the person I want to be. And when I say this is the person I want to be, these are the values that I want to live out on a consistent basis. The values, or quote unquote, states of being. I say quote unquote, I think that's maybe a phrase literally directly from Tony Robbins' book. This is the state in which I want to live on an ongoing basis. And if that's the case, I know that I can achieve that not just through one vehicle. And I think this is especially important for business owners. The reality is, the market changes, the industry changes, your needs change, your desires change, maybe your interests change as well. The opportunities arise that you didn't expect. And your ability to be able to separate yourself from your business, to be an individual entity, a human being, the business just being a vehicle to accomplish your goals or to live out your values, the ability to be able to distinguish yourself from your business, not to find your identity in your business, is extremely, extremely powerful. And it's kind of a conversation unto itself. But the moment that you realize, oh, I can find different ways to live out my values, I can find different ways to experience these states that bring me such deep sense of satisfaction. It doesn't have to be with this particular business model. Maybe not even in this particular industry. It doesn't have to be with this business partner. I can live out my value set. I can find that deep sense of satisfaction in all kinds of different ways. Being able to create that separation and distinction will put you in a much healthier mental, emotional, psychological state. And I think it's something that you should at least consider and embrace if at all possible. And then lastly, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but establishing a clear set of values enables you to have a filter through which you can run your business model, or via which you can establish a better business model for you. I know from personal experience, when I first started my photography business, and just to give a little bit of context, because I don't talk about this a lot, I built and ran a six-figure photography business with my former business partner. This is from about 2001 to 2012. And then 2008, I built and launched what is an eight-figure editing company. So I have a lot of experience in business and certainly obviously personal life to go along with that. So this is where what I'm speaking from. But when it comes to business decisions, if you're clear about the person that you want to be, what your values are, what that then enables you to do is to make a decision about the business model that you design. And where I was going a second ago, and I'm going to come back to, is that when I first got into photography, it wasn't this very calculated process of here's my values, and now I'm going to go start my business that helps support these values. None of that. I was like, oh, I like taking pictures. This is really cool. It was film back in the day. So I'm taking pictures with these rolls of film. I get them back. Oh, this looks so great. And this is something that, I mean, at the time, frankly, I was kind of rebelling against what my family wanted and doing my own thing. And it gave me an outlet to be creative. And then the possibility that I might be able to make some money doing this thing that was fun, that I thought was cool, and buy a fancy camera body. These are the kinds of things I'm thinking about, right? It wasn't rooted in this highly planned, constructed business model that was set up via my values. But the cool thing is, whether you're starting in business and you're trying to figure out what the business model is going to be, for that matter, what industry you're going to work in, Or maybe you have an established business and it's just not feeling extremely satisfying at this point after however many years of being in business. You can go back and take some time, an hour, 2 hours, as a result as well of conversation with friends, family, who are going to be really honest with you, who know you well, can be a great sounding board in this kind of exploration of what your values are. You can go back and establish those values. And once you've established those values, then you can build a business model that supports that value set. Just to go back to my values from earlier, I talked about the importance of flexibility, the ability to maximize time for the sake of connection, adventure, and health. If I want that kind of flexibility in my life, naturally, I'm not going to go build a business photographing 500 portrait sessions a year. And some might say, well, yeah, but you could do 500 portrait sessions with a team that you manage. Yeah, I guess so. Now I have the responsibility of the team to manage as well. I'm not going to go build a business shooting low-cost weddings. There's a need for them, but it doesn't make sense in the context of my value set and what's important to me. And so I'm not going to start that business model. Instead, what I'm going to do is maybe shoot $10,000 weddings 8 times a year or 10 times a year or 15 times a year, whatever my financial goals may be or needs are, and still have a life beyond that. Maybe work 20 hours a week, but then also be able to go do other things. I love to ride motorcycles. I have 2 kids, friends, family. I can go and spend time on these things and not feel guilty or stressed out because I'm not taking care of my business that I created that doesn't support my value set. So when it comes to establishing clarity as a business owner, making sure that you're clear about your values, what's most important to you, that will enable you to create a business model which better supports, of course, your goals and your value set, but will also, as a result, bring a sense of happiness, of a depth of happiness and satisfaction as that business owner, which is going to put you in a much, much better place. So I hope that makes sense. As we're kind of finishing up here, don't be shy. Plug some questions, comments, thoughts into the comment section there on youtube.com/BocaPodcast or at BocaPodcast, facebook.com/BocaPodcast. But you might say, Nate, okay, again, this is good. Like I'm 90, 95% there. What do I do next? This all makes sense. What do I do next? First, I do recommend that book by Tony Robbins. And by the way, I know there are mixed opinions on Tony Robbins. This is not a religion about Tony Robbins. This is just really great information from a guy who has actually brought quite a bit of value to a lot of people in the world. I just recommend going and taking a look at that book, reading the book thoroughly. It's only 100 pages. You're going to take so much away if you keep an open mind and look to apply these principles that he's talking about to your life. But at least do it for the sake of understanding better what values, establishing values, what that process means, what it looks like. And that will enable you to be able to do this maybe a little bit more effectively. And then second thing you got to do is just establish your values. Make the list. And again, it doesn't have to be 20 items long or even 10 items long. It could be 2 or 3 or 4 key ideas, values, core values that bring you a deep sense of satisfaction. States of being, keep in mind, that bring you a deep sense of satisfaction. Just start with that. Yeah, maybe in a week or a month or a year, you'll add another one. Maybe you'll change the definition. Whatever the case, just do what you can right now. Do what you know right now. And again, that's one of the coolest things about this approach to not finding yourself, but choosing who you want to be, is you don't have to wait. You can do this now. You can establish the values that are most important to you and work at living them out consistently now. You don't have to wait to go find yourself. I would encourage you then, thirdly, to review your values regularly. This is something that I do probably 3-4 times a week, in some cases more, sometimes a little bit less as well. It depends. But as long as I'm consistently kind of working through my daily schedule, my established daily schedule, something that is part of my morning routine is to review my values. And it's not that I just forgot about them altogether, but keeping them front and center, reading those definitions, keeping them front of mind, and making sure that I'm consistently living those out on a daily basis, or even just using that as a filter. Oh yeah, that's right. Flexibility. Am I doing something in my business right now that's enabling that flexibility for the sake of important relationships in my life, the connection that I want? These kinds of questions you can ask and filter through your value set, and it's so powerful that way. So review them regularly. Of course, fourth, ultimately, you're going to build your life, your business, everything around that value set. And I mean, this really should have been a major talking point through this conversation, but if you're establishing values that are impactful to your life, that bring a deep sense of joy and satisfaction to your life, I would hope that those around you are also going to experience some sense of benefit as well. If you're establishing really great values, they will not only benefit you, but they'll benefit others. And so it really shouldn't be a side note, but I want to make sure to include that in this discussion. And then the last point I'll make, again, is just to encourage you with the idea that these can be adjusted as needed. A lot of times when we take on a task or even a project, there is we tend to freeze. And part of the reason that we freeze is because we're like, what if I don't get it exactly right? What if it's not just perfect and I don't nail it? And then like, what if? Don't worry about the what if. Again, do what you know is best right now and you can work out the details later on. What brings you that deep sense of satisfaction? What states of being bring you that deep sense of satisfaction and joy in your life consistently? They have for years. You can look back over time and see that that's the case. Or if it's too much to think about your whole life, look back at the last 2 or 3 years. Write those down, define them for yourself, and use those as a reference on an ongoing basis, not only to create the business that you want, that will support your goals, your dreams, and ultimately bring you that sense of satisfaction, but to do that with your life overall. I can't recommend this enough. And I appreciate you all listening in. Again, I want this to be a discussion. This is not me preaching by any means, but I continue to hear that phrase. And I think a lot of times we're not thinking about the words that we're saying. We just kind of repeat the phrase because that's the thing that we say. I want you all to just stop, consider the phrase, consider the arguments, if you will, the points that I've made about that phrase today. And then the healthier alternative. Explore it, give it a shot. And I think you'll find a lot of encouragement. And ultimately, to borrow what has also become a bit of a cliche, I guess, these days, but empowerment. You want to feel empowered in your life? Take back the responsibility and the power, the privilege of choice. Establish those values for yourself, and you're going to be in a really great place. All right. Well, I appreciate you all listening in today. Thanks for coming back to the show. I know it's been a little bit. I look forward to continuing to connect with you all through conversation, both individual episodes like this one, just hosted by me, and then also, of course, with guests in the future. Thanks again for listening to the Boca Podcast. Again, produced by Photographer's Edit. If you all are in the middle of busy season or you have busy season coming back up, make sure that you go check out Photographer's Edit, photographersedit.com. I hope you all have an absolutely wonderful day.